The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 16th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. Actually, it rained a little bit last night and this morning, and just the air just felt so good when we came over here. Well, I have four special guest in the studio with me. I have Carrie Fugard, who works as Daily Acts, where she manages the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities. And actually, I'm kind of calling Carrie a co-producer on this show because she helped me get the guests and helped me with the questions. And we just had some great, great conversations. Also with me is Amber S., who's the co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project and BOP in Petaluma, which I'm very, very familiar with. And then we have Kaylea Frederick, who teaches classes on Earth Stewardship through her project Earth is Ohana, and is a board member with the Black Mountain Circle, and her beautiful 15-month-old son, Naka. Nakash Lofton is here in the room with us. And it's just wonderful to have the energy of a young person, especially we're going to be talking about climate change and the action that is happening on September 20th, there's going to be, it's just amazing when I look at the lineup. It's called a Global Climate Strike. It's going to be happening September 20th, 2019 from 12 to 2. And it's going to be happening in the Courthouse Square. And we're going to be talking about the event as well as some of the stuff that is going to be happening. An amazing, it's really interesting. An amazing thing is, like I said, we'll be talking about the global climate strike that is happening across the globe on September 20th. And I believe this is the second one. There was the first one, I believe, happened in March. And for me, it was an amazing dialogue of truth about climate change and the urgency to do something. And this activated young people across the planet. In fact, I am so inspired by the articulation and the knowledge that these young people have and are bringing forward for us. And as an adult, I'm 6 months from 80. I like to think of myself as an adult. I finally think I made it to that point. As an older person, as an adult, whatever you want to call us, we need to support our youth. We need to hear what they're saying. And their message is very, very clear. Stop robbing our future and do something. Do something. And to hear adults criticize them or put them down or not give them the credit for articulation is really amazing. I said something, everybody's writing frantically, so I wonder if they're going to comment on it. I hope so. Anyway, it was amazing. And the message sounds very, very clear to me. And I want us to listen to the conversation that we're going to have this morning. And I'm dedicating the song, the interviews this morning, to a song called Pale Moon. And when I play the song, I want folks to listen to it. And one of the things, there's one line in there that really sticks out to me, and that's, we are one planet, one people, one heart. And I researched what Becky Hobbs meant by one heart. And what she meant by one heart is the fact that we all have beating hearts. We are one heart, one world. So the name of the program this morning, I'm going to be calling it One Planet, One People, One Heart. Well, I have quite a few announcements to make. One of the reasons that these announcements I think are very important is because the number one priority for all of us right now should be to find some sort of way to where we can become involved. Now, we're hearing in the background, we can hear the little boy making little sounds. It's hard for a 15-month-old to sit in a room while the adults are trying to do a radio show here. But when you listen to the sounds, or every once in a while you hear that child, think of your own child. Think of the future. We are talking about the future of generations. You know, the Native Americans always say seven generations. You know, you have to think ahead seven generations. But let's go ahead with the announcement. This Wednesday, September 18th, from 10 to 12, the Sonoma County chapter of the California Alliance for Retired Americans is going to be having a senior forum to give you more information about your Medicare and Medi-Cal and all the different things, all the different coverages you have. It's going to be at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, 547 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa. You know, and I think if you want to get more information, you can call Sandy at 888-0748. Lots of information. You know, seniors, a lot of the programs are kind of on the step, chopping block. You need to go. You need to listen. You need to understand. As most of my listeners know, I am president of the National Organization for Women, Sonoma County Chapter, and we have our monthly meeting this Wednesday, September 18th at 1 o'clock at Roundtable Pizza at 1791 Marlow Road in Santa Rosa. Really, really interesting. I mean, the months go by so darn fast. Anyway, and again, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, on Friday, September 20th, from 12 to 2 o'clock, there's going to be the Sonoma County Climate Strike, and it's going to be happening in a Courthouse Square, and the guest in the studio, we're going to be talking about it, and we'll give you all the details. And like I remind my listeners, everything that I say on the show is on our website at www.womenspaces.com. You know, so if you need to know a time or a date, it's all listed. So don't worry yourself if you haven't got the exact information down. Saturday, September 21st from 9 to 5 at Sonoma State University Student Center, the Sonoma County Black Forum with Sonoma State Black Student Union is going to proudly host their second annual Youth Summit. So there's going to be a Youth Summit happening, and the theme is Lead, Serve, and Thrive, 2019 Youth Summit. I love that. Lead, Serve, and Thrive. I mean, just think if we've been doing this since the beginning of our country, you know, we might not be in the problems that we're having. Well, that's all that I have here for announcements. And, you know, one of the things I want to do is to encourage people. If you have, like, a birthday or an anniversary, or there's something, you know, a special event that your organization is having, you know, email me. Let me know about it, and I'll see if I can give you some support. But I really want to hear from people about their birthdays and anniversaries. I think it's kind of fun as a community. And remember, we are hitting 18 communities, so we've got lots of people out there other than Sonoma County. So please feel free to email me at Elaine@womenspaces, W-O-M-E-N-S. SSPACES.com if you have any announcements you'd like to make. And also, you know, let me know what's going on in your county. Maybe there's a person that you want me to bring on the air and to interview. And how can I do it if I don't know who's out there, if you know what I mean. And I want to say one last thing. A few people have been kind of not really confronting me, but kind of questioning me. Why do I stay focused on women and women's spaces? Well, I'll tell you why. If you ever listen to talk radio, 50%, I would say 75 to 80% of the call-ins are men. 20% are women. If you look at the letters to the editor, there's more men that are writing letters to the editor. If you see who's speaking out, there are more, you hear more of the male voice than you do the female voice. So what I decided to do is I decided to just focus on women, to have a voice for women. And it has nothing to do, I mean, most of us, I mean, here I'm sitting here with a 15-month-old baby. I know that she has a beautiful husband, that they've moved here. They've moved here to Santa Rosa. I mean, there's the great man. You know, I know other people have relationships. I mean, I myself, Ken and I, are about to celebrate our 20th anniversary in April. So, you know, there are lots of good men out there. But as far as a voice go, women need a voice. And that's what Women's Spaces is all about. And it's in no way meant to put men down or to hurt men. In fact, I encourage men to join women who are speaking out, to support them, to be there with us, to form partnerships. I mean, it's wonderful when you have the, if, you know, you heard the old saying, yin and yang, that's a male, female, kind of, you know, you got the two sides of the coin. Anyway, that's enough for announcements and enough for commentaries, and we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to be playing, and I have to say, this is one of my favorite songs, and I don't know, I'm going to try not to cry when I listen to it, but it just, it moves me so deeply. It's called Pale Moon, and it's sung by Becky Hobbs. And when I return, I will be talking with Carrie Frugit from Daily Acts, where she manages the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities and the Climate Campaign Program, Amber S., and we'll be letting you know what that S sounds when we come back, co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project, and Kyalea Frederick, who teaches classes on Earth Stewardship through the project Earth is Ohana, and is a wonderful member of the Black Mountain Circle. All three women are currently involved in one capacity or another in organizing the climate strike happening across the globe and also here in Sonoma County on Friday, September 20th. So let's go ahead and listen to Pale Moon by Becky Hobbs.
Old and so wise, high in the sky, my old friend. Hail moon, what is the meaning of life? I long to hear, speak to my spirit tonight. To learn and to live and to love.
You know, there are songs and there are songs. And what I love about this song, besides the saying, one planet, one people, one heart, I love the idea of reflection, of asking questions. Like, what are we doing? In fact, it's going to be very interesting when we play the next song. Well, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And it's really exciting because I have four wonderful people here, four human beings, and actually a young man who's 15 months old here with us, and I want to introduce him. And let me, my guests are Carrie Fugit, who is from the Daily Axe, where she manages a Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities and the Climate Campaign Programs. We want to say hello, Carrie, so we can hear your voice.
Good morning.
And also we have with us Amber S. Amber, you want to come closer to the mic here and tell us your secret name?
Hi, good morning. My name's Amber Sobosly, and I'm here as co-chair of MBOP Petaluma.
Well, thank you, Amber. And Amber, I'm telling you, folks, I want to apologize. I have such an issue with names. It's getting to be ridiculous. And I also have Kayalea Frederick, who teaches classes on Earth Stewardship through her project, Earth is Ohana, and is a board member with the Black Mountain Circle. And also we have her young boy with us. So let's hear your voice, Kayalea, so we can know who you are.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
And tell us a little bit about your little boy. How old is he?
So Nakash is 15 months old, and he is wily. So I'm just sitting over here doing some baby wrangling at the moment, but so grateful that you were open to having both of us here.
Oh, well, we're on Women's Spaces, and women, you know something, I got news for you. Women have played a very important role on this planet, as we see, as I'm watching you nurture your child here while we're on the air. So thank you so much for being here. Well, if it's okay if I tell, you know, let's do this a little bit different. Rather than me tell about you, let's start with you, Carrie. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what would you like folks to know about you? And you've been on before, and thank you for co-producing this with me. You've done an excellent job. You're a great contact person.
Thank you very much. So as you said, I run our Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities at Daily Axe. Daily Acts believes that every action can make a ripple, and that by unleashing the power of community, we can create more just, connected, and climate resilient communities. And we do this through talks, tours, workshops, hands-on landscape installations, helping people build local self-reliance through low-cost, low-tech, people-powered solutions. And we also recognize the importance of getting involved civically and being large community activists in the climate realm and needing to step up to that challenge. We also play a role in environmental health and work in partnership with a lot of amazing other organizations in the community to help make sure we can get pesticides and toxics out of our public spaces.
Yeah, boy, that pesticides. There's an article that I just read about. It's actually hurting teenagers. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. Okay, Amber, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, I know you work for NBOP. I'm very familiar. It's a wonderful organization. And a little bit of background, how you got where you are.
Well, I'm actually trained as a scientist, and I've worked in the field of climate change research for the past 6 years. But I do a volunteer gig with the North Bay Organizing Project in Petaluma. And so North Bay Organizing Project works on all forms of justice, environmental, racial, social, economic justice. And what that looks like in Petaluma sort of varies from day to day, but most recently we've been working with the group Climate Action Petaluma to be involved and participate in bringing the lens of justice to the work that they're doing with passing a climate emergency resolution and forming a new climate action commission that's part of the city government.
Well, when you say you're a scientist, what does that mean? What kind of scientist? I'm curious.
I love data. But I'm a marine biologist, and most recently I've worked on projects looking at how climate affects herring populations in San Francisco Bay, as well as research on food webs in the ocean and how things are changing.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for being here. I mean, what a group you are. Very, very impressive. And let's hear from you, my friend, Kayalea. Tell us about yourself a little bit. And, you know, very interesting. I know that you're a Native American woman. Am I correct?
Yeah, so my ancestry on my father's side were First Nations from northern British Columbia, so Tahltan Nation and Kaskan Nation. I actually grew up, though, on the island of Maui, and I've lived here in the North Bay for the last 2.5 years. And I actually started my project, Earth is Ohana, on the island before I moved out here, but I've been involved in a lot of grassroots organizing over the last 5 years, very heavily involved within the youth national and international climate justice movement, and excited about the opportunity to be in conversation with all of us that are here in the studio today.
Well, another thing, when you send your bio that I thought was very interesting, you mentioned the word that you're involved with, spiritual ecology. What does that mean, spiritual ecology, to you?
Yeah, so spiritual ecology is an incredible, I would say, just blossoming and also very quiet field that recognizes, first and foremost, Native peoples as the original spiritual ecologists, so people who have kept the forefront of their culture and their traditions, in line with the earth and truly in earth stewardship and reverence and respect. But it also is a field that recognizes that our broader social, political, and environmental issues stem from a deep internal spiritual crisis, so truly a break in intimate conversation with oneself. And so the field stems from there, wanting to support people in coming back into conversation with their own self before moving forward into action out into the world.
You know, one of the things that I like about the theme of one planet, one people, one heart, we forget we're human beings. You know, we really forget how environments affect us, how the food we put in our mouth affects us, how the air we breathe. We forget those things because we're just going day by day. We don't realize it. Well, you have a very, very diverse background, the three of you. And one of the things that I have to comment is, as an old-time person who's worked a long time with women's issues and women's studies, it is so refreshing to see three young, beautiful women in front of you that are so active, that know so much, and one of them even taking the risk and the opportunity to be a parent. I mean, a parent is not an easy thing, as we're seeing, just sitting here trying to do this interview and trying to take care of a young person. It's not an easy task. So let's start with you, Carrie, first. I'd like to talk with you, before we begin, I think the most important thing is, let's start with Kealea. Let's start talking about Greta Thunberg, because this is what is the motivation behind all this, particularly on the youth movement. So why don't you talk a little bit about her? Who is she? What is her impact? And why is it happening right now in 2019?
So Greta, as some of our listeners might already know, is a 16-year-old climate justice activist from Sweden who actually is here in the U.S. at the moment. And, you know, she is just an incredible force. I feel like she's been a huge rallying cry for youth globally. And, I was just reflecting with my partner last night how important it is that there are voices that are being risen up that are not actually based, North American voices, so that we can broaden our perspective here in the U.S. around the other ways that countries are, understanding climate change right now. And actually, this last Saturday, I was teaching a class for, student youth climate justice activists on the impact and the power of story.
I want to just ask you, before you go into that, how big do you think the movement, the youth movement across the United States is right now? Or, across the globe. Do you think there's really been a big impact?
There's been a huge impact. So I was actually going to share that at this storytelling event, there was a high school senior who shared, a lot about how Greta has impacted her and her own activism. Her name is Frida. She actually immigrated to the U.S. from Mexico. And she was sharing just how much she loved that Greta, is someone who's not trying to place herself above or apart from the crowd. She's really someone who is, she understands her as someone who is just a normal teenager in so many regards, an ordinary citizen just like her. And that orientation, that feeling of this is someone who I can relate to has been a huge impact for this young person. And we actually, you know, after Frida shared all together as a group, you know, it was a whole bunch of high school students. There was even an elementary school student. We all spoke the words thank you and gratitude to Greta because she, as I was saying, has been, I think, just a force. You know, she is making young people want to show up on the streets outside of their schools and talk to, you know, people in power about doing something.
Okay, I want to ask you one question. So we're gonna kind of go and do. We're trying to do a little bit of babysitting here. Let me go to you, Carrie. Do you think? I noticed you were writing when I said that the basic message that Greta was made. What do you think her message is, and why do you think she relates so strongly with the youth?
I think her message has been, we have the power to change the system, and she's speaking truth to power in such a raw, vulnerable, authentic, and just incredibly unique way. And she's walking the talk too. I think most people have heard that she sailed across the Atlantic to come to the U.S. climate actions, and that she is really saying we need to break climate silence, basically. And she's naming the systems that need to change, and she's empowering the youth because she is a youth and she is relatable, and she's impacting her circle of influence, which is a thing we talk a lot about what your circle of influence is versus your circle of concern. And our circle of concern can be so huge that sometimes we feel paralyzed by inaction, but her circle of influence was not going to school. And that has created a worldwide movement. And that's something we all have the power to do, is find something in our circle of influence and create the next giant movement.
Well, you know, what I find so interesting is I find the youth on the movement. I find them marching, and I find them doing a lot of different things. But hold on a minute. Is there any way we can kind of maybe turn that mic down?
I did.
Okay. And so, you know, there's a lot of different movements that are going on. Do you think that they're making a difference? You know, I keep thinking about the conversation the young people had with Dianne Feinstein that time, you know, and I'm wondering, are they listening? Are they really listening? Are they having some impact? What is your thought? How about you, Amber? Any thought on that?
You're speaking about the Sunrise Movement, I believe.
Well, we're talking just about the youth movement. I think there's about, I'm looking here, right here, when I look at this, and I think, oh, I see it. There's the Sunrise Movement, and there's a Populist Now. There's a few youth movements. What is their motivation? What do you feel? Do you feel they're having an impact, particularly in our area?
Well, I've spoken to some of the youth that are involved in that organizing, and I think that they see that they need to take charge and be responsible for making the change that they want to see. They see that it hasn't been taken seriously by the people in government, the adults around them, and they see an opportunity to do things differently now.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, you hear a lot of these movements where they're against government. Oh, we don't need a government. You know, government is the bad. You know, Ronald Reagan said it wasn't the businesses that were the problem. It was the government that was the problem. And people don't realize that to govern is just to make sure things are done equitably and fairly. You know, but what we have right now is a government that we don't want. We don't want a government that's not listening to us. I mean, I'm shocked when I'm hearing about what's going on in Alaska. I'm shocked when I hear what's going on with the waters across the United States being poisoned, full of lead. And I'm saying, where is the leadership?
Well, I actually think it's not just about government. It's about the economy. And we've been living in an economy that is pushing us to the extremes of what a natural system can be expected to handle. So a lot of these movements are centered around the idea that we need to recognize the earth as a living system that humans are part of. And one way we can make changes is to think about how the current economy that we have is basically taking advantage of our Earth. And we see that with fossil fuel extraction. And I think that the youth really recognize that we need to make a transition from an economy that relies on extracting natural resources to one that is more sustainable, one that is more regenerative. And we see a lot of ways to do that. You know, as a scientist, I can say we have the tools to make the transition away from fossil fuels. That's not what's holding us back. And that's where government comes back into play.
That's what's holding us back. And also, even the military is saying that this is a danger, that we need to do something. So it's really very difficult. Well, let's hold that thought. And we're going to take a musical break right now. And when we come back, we're going to indulge and talk about the event that's happening on September 20th, which is right around the corner. It's going to be this Friday. It's amazing. And we're going to listen to a song called What on Earth, sung by Earth Mama. In fact, what's very interesting about Earth Mama, her name is Joyce Russo. And I've become very friendly with her over the show. And next week, hopefully, I have my fingers crossed, she's actually back east. And she's going to be attending one of these rallies on the 20th back east, and I hope to have her on the air on Monday so we can talk about it and also talk about this song and what is behind this. So let's take our musical break. We're going to listen to What on Earth, sung by Earth Mama, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Carrie Fugate from Daily Acts, where she manages the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities and the Climate Campaign Program, and Amber S., who's the co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project, and Kealea Frederick, who teaches classes on Earth stewardship through her project Earth is Ona, and is on the board member with the Black Mountain Circle. All three women are currently involved in one capacity or another in organizing the global climate strike happening across the globe on Friday, September 20th. Here we go. What on Earth, sung by Earth Mama.
What are you doing today for tomorrow? Where on earth are you going if we don't find a better way? Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are you doing for tomorrow today? We have tomorrow. Where on earth are we going if we don't find a better way? Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are we doing for tomorrow today? Today is only a fleeting moment.
Yes, every little bit helped. I remember when I was a young girl and I threw away a penny. And my mother said, "Why are you doing that?" And I said, "It's only a penny." And she says, she gave me a jar and she's put the penny in. She says, "Now every time someone gives you a penny and you find a penny, you just put it in the jar." Well, in about 6 months, I had about 500 pennies, which was $5, which was a lot of money to me. I put one penny into the jar whenever I found it. Well, that's what this whole idea around the climate strike is that we all can do something. And if we just do our little bit, it'll be amazing. Like that penny jar, before you know it, you see changes or you see things gather that you just said, oh, wow, this is amazing. But it takes effort and it takes people coming together. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And we're going to continue our conversation with Carrie Fugit and Amber S. And also we have Kalea Frederick, who teaches classes and is also very involved in Earth is Ohana. So welcome back, and welcome back, ladies. And let's start with you, Amber. I mean, you're the scientist in the room, and I really appreciate, you know, that you're bringing that kind of education and background here to this interview. What is our current climate reality, and how do you move into action with a little bit of heart? But what do you believe people have to do, and what is happening?
So a few years ago, I realized as a scientist that the message wasn't really getting across about how imminent the crisis was. And I really came to terms with this because in my research, I discovered that we were starting to have trouble making predictions about fish populations, and that related to the environment that the fish were living in. And we've been seeing more and more extreme weather events, and it just makes it more difficult for us to tell what's going on. And I realized that just understanding the system wasn't enough to get anything done about the climate crisis. And that's when I moved into doing the volunteer work with the North Bay Organizing Project. And I think that work is really inspiring to me because that organization is really focused on centering the voices like you mentioned, of women, of people of color, of the youth.
Very diverse, very diverse.
And so they recognize the need to lift these voices and bring them into positions of leadership and decision making, and especially that it's critical to do that from the beginning. And so to watch that organization in action, for example, they have a program right now called the Rights of Nature or the Rights of Mother Earth, which is really working to center the voices from the communities that we don't usually hear, is just very inspiring because we need participation from all people in our communities to make the change that has to happen.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, this is a little bit off the wall, but what is the conclusion? What are the rights of Mother Earth?
Okay, this is a little bit out of my domain. We don't have an active program in Petaluma right now where I am, so most of that work is happening in Santa Rosa. But I can read a quote to you.
Okay, go.
That is from an organization called the Rights-Based Law for Systemic Change. And it says, climate disruption is the direct result of human activities pushing beyond the limits of natural law. Recognizing the Earth as a living system of which humans are a part, rather than as human property to be owned and destroyed, is a fundamental shift from the climate capitalism embedded in the DNA of trade deals, environmental policies, and treaties around the world. So it's about recognizing that our natural living world has rights and using that tool as a legislative entity to defend our ecosystems from what's happening. It can be related to pesticides. It can be related to climate change. Basically gives us the tool to protect where we live, what we call home.
You know, it's interesting when you think of what happens sometimes with an abused child, how they grow up, they grow up angry, they grow up doing all kinds of vicious things, and they're very young, making people uncomfortable. It's the same thing with the Earth. If you abuse it, look what's going to happen. I mean, and we are abusing it, and I think that's what that statement is saying, and that we have to recognize that this is a living entity that we depend on. You know, so how do people do action with heart? I mean, what are some of the ideas and thoughts that you have about that?
I think I might defer to Carrie on that one.
Okay, go ahead, Carrie.
Well, I think there's a lot of different actions with heart, and I want to highlight what Amber said around making sure that voices of the most vulnerable community members are a part of that action from day one and a part of the decision-making process, because we need to do actions in a way that models the next culture that we want and that is more sustainable and just. And so we look at how do we do actions that are modeling the world we want to create and pushing systems change. So we have the climate strike coming up on the this Friday that you referred to, and that's the work, the hard work of a lot of amazing organizations here locally and nationally. And then we have tomorrow, we have an action that we're actually asking people to come to the Board of Supervisors at 8:30 a.m., the administration building. They are going to be reviewing the climate emergency resolution for the county, which is a resolution to lift up the narrative of how urgent climate action is, and to bring that recognition into our decision-making process. So we would have that as a lens of which we use to make all other decisions in our county, which is really important to have that priority set. And they're also going to be reviewing a budget surplus for 2020. So we're asking people to come tomorrow morning at 8:30 to support the Board of Supervisors in passing a climate emergency resolution and asking them to commit to bolder and goals as well that are more fully aligned with the climate science, and then also asking them to commit $2 million of the county budget surplus to building climate leadership and seeding funding to attract even more resources. So more than just saying this is important, putting money behind where their mouth is.
Well, I need to make a comment here. You know, we have two actions happening. We have tomorrow, people can go to the Board of Supervisors, and they will have time for a public comment. You know, after each issue, you can have 3 minutes to go up and talk to the supervisors and tell them your opinion. And then we have the action on September 20th. And I think when you start looking at these things, is one of the things that I said is that people have to get involved. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I think there should be 10,000 mothers out there, because who is being affected? I mean, I notice here we are, you know, we're having an interview here, and we're having a little 15-month little boy in here, and here he is. He looks so healthy and beautiful. And I'm thinking all that depends on the food that's being put in his mouth, the air that he's breathing, the love from his parents. And how can we even give love when we're all so stressed out about so many of these different things that are happening? So I think it's very important to get involved. And I think these are two actions that are happening. And we're lucky. We live in Sonoma County. You come out to an action, the air is beautiful. The sun is shining. I mean, it's amazing. Well, talk about, we have Kealea back in the room now. Let's talk a little bit about what vulnerable communities are being affected by all this. What is one of the big problems that we're looking at here?
Well, we find that the folks who, I mean, not we find, we just know that the folks who are already, for example, stressed by housing. So if you're paying more than 50% of your budget for housing, you have so many more things to worry about than climate change. And that's a vulnerable population, because paying your rent means you can't step up to making the climate actions we need.
And I think, you know, sometimes it might be hard to make the connection between paying rent and climate change, but we have a good example in Sonoma County with the displacement that we saw after the fires, and seeing the need for more housing, more affordable housing, deeply affordable housing, so that we don't displace people who are living in our communities when we have these disasters. And when we talk about sort of the frontline communities of climate change, we have those right here in Sonoma County. They're people who are paying rent. They're people who are working outdoors that are affected by heat waves and poor air quality, things like that.
In addition to that, mental health. So we have a lot of folks who struggle with mental health in Sonoma County, and it's well recognized that the stresses of both climate anxiety and also increasing temperatures can make mental health issues even more challenging.
You know, when you talk about climate anxiety, it reminds me of when Ken and I were out in the backyard the other day having lunch, all of a sudden the wind came up. And I couldn't help but all of a sudden think about what was it like at 110, 120 miles an hour during those hurricanes. You were wanting to come in?
Yeah, I mean, as a mother, it's hard to also, you know, obviously not think about our children and the future generations as this very vulnerable community. I actually found out that I was pregnant with my son here 2 days before the fire started here in Santa Rosa. And that whole initial moment of, you know, realizing I was going to become a mother, and that I was also, because I was newly pregnant, you know, a very, like, at-risk citizen because of the heavy amount of smoke exposure exposure was, you know, pretty depressive, I would say. I started my whole pregnancy in this incredible depression. And then, the beginning of my son's life, he was born last June. There was fires that were going on then. And I remember I took him to the Capitol, to Sacramento, to go and stand in front of then Governor Jerry Brown's office to demand that he take action. And then, you know, a few months later, we had the huge campfire that burned through the town of Paradise. And again, you know, just having an infant, not being able to leave the house, not being sure what that heavy amount of exposure meant to a tiny little baby was, I would say, so incredibly detrimental to me. And I think to anyone who is a parent right now, you know, this question of, you know, is my child going to have incredible adverse health effects because of being exposed to wildfire smoke every year?
Well, we know through certain fires that happen, like in, you know, even some of the explosions around, you know, some of the gas in different counties, we know that it affects. I mean, the air gets polluted. I mean, it becomes like a disaster. Well, you know, we've covered a lot this morning, and particularly about the horrors, but there is a solution. And one of the solutions is, to begin with, is that people have to come out. They have to let their leadership know that this is not acceptable, that they don't do anything. So let's go in, let's transition and talk about the September 20th, where there will be a climate strike. Talk about the climate strike, what it's about, and what is motivating it. You want to jump in there, Carrie?
We've been helping promote the climate strike, so I will admit I'm not a core organizer of the climate strike, but they've been working a lot to have youth voices at the table and making sure that it's interactive and making sure that we are raising that narrative and showing up in the streets. So it's really linking into the global day of action because climate silence is a real thing. I think there's statistics out of Yale around 70% of our communities nationwide recognize climate as an issue, but only about 25% of them never hear climate talked about, and 25% also only hear it talked about once a month. So we need to be talking about climate every single day, and to our family, to people who may not agree with us, because we genuinely need climate culture. We need culture shift, and culture is what we talk about. So the act of talking about climate change is the act of changing culture around it, and we need cultural change so that it gets more airtime, so that it gets more policy time, that it gets more financial resources, and we start actually shifting our economy away from what Amber said is a currently extractive system into a regenerative system. And we need the policy and the resources to do that, and that starts with shifting the culture and putting public wind in the political sales.
Well, there's another thing. I have to jump in and say this. You know, one of the most important medias that we have is community radio. You know, it's much more important than the corporate media. And the corporate media get tons and tons of advertising money. The local community media is like KBBF. So I want to encourage people, if you're enjoying this show, you're getting good information, we're talking about a very important march that's happening. You know, you might find you found an in-depth coverage before on Amy Goodman's show. You know, this is the same thing. We are community radio. We are your community radio here for 18 counties in Northern California. So if you're so inclined, go to www.kbbf.org. And if you look up at the right-hand side, you'll see it says, you know, donate, and just give what you can. But the most important thing is to give. Go ahead, Carrie.
And I want to highlight the five demands that the climate strike is asking for. And it's a Green New Deal and a just transition to a carbon-free energy sector, respect for indigenous land and sovereignty, environmental justice, protection of biodiversity, and implementation of sustainable agriculture. So there's going to be a lot of amazing people there working on these. So also, I encourage you to come if you're feeling like overwhelmed by the problem and looking for ways to plug in, because it's a community of people working to create change. So you can meet folks to connect with, build community with, and be a part of that larger change.
So Amber, you want to add a few things there, my love?
Yes, and forgive me if I missed something while I stepped out, but I just wanted to say, in terms of like solutions and actions, I believe Carrie was speaking about the climate emergency resolution movement that we have going on. in Sonoma County right now. So there's the opportunity to go to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. But Petaluma was the first city to pass that. And it was led by a group of different organizations. And we're about to seat the new commission that has come out of that process. And the applications were due last Monday, a week ago, and the city received 31 applications for 6 seats. So if you want something inspiring and hopeful, it's that people are taking action and people are getting involved in solutions. And it's just been amazing to see people in our community come out and show what they have to give.
You know, there's another song that I play a lot. It's called "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." So if you don't show up, if you don't express yourself, what you're saying, it's okay to destroy the world. It's okay to make a terrible environment for our children. I mean, that's what you're saying. It's like when you don't vote, you're saying, I don't care, just do it any way you want to do it. And of course, you know, I mean, people have personalities. We're watching the Buddha series on the Buddha, 55 episodes. It shows all the personalities of humanity that all have to come together and work together. So it's not so easy. Well, we're coming to the end of the program, and I want to get into logistics. So tell us, where is the event going to be? I know there's going to be several events that you're splitting things up. They're going to start at the JC, I believe. So you want to cover that? All right, wait, we're looking up all the information.
Yeah, so the strike is at Courthouse Square from 12 to 2, and there is going to be a pre-rally preparations and fun at the junior college at 9:30 at the Quad or Central Students Activity Center. There's free parking on the SRJC campus for those participating at the events. At 11 a.m., they're marching to Courthouse Square. At noon at Courthouse Square, there's a youth-led rally. And at 1 at Courthouse Square, there's opportunities for action. Okay. And there's also a group, if you're coming from Sebastopol, biking from Sebastopol to Santa Rosa for the climate march. And if you're not living in Sebastopol, I encourage you to start a bike ride from your community to Santa Rosa for the march, so that we really are showing through our actions.
Is there a website or anything?
There's a Facebook page, so you can go to Facebook. It's advertised on the Sunrise Sonoma County Facebook page, and it is just the Global Sonoma County Climate Strike on Facebook, and that's the primary organizing page.
Okay, just as the last thought, and let's hear from both of you. As a last thought, let us know again why it's so important to participate in this. We've got about 3 minutes left. I give you maybe 15 seconds apiece. Why do you think it's so important to show up?
I think it's important to show up if this is an issue that might be new for you. You know, this is going to be an educational family event, so it's an opportunity to really come forward with all the people in your family, you know, and also it's an opportunity to lend support and power to the voices of youth, those youth that do not have the opportunity yet because of their age to actually show up and vote, you know, in the politicians and the leaders that we want for our country. So I think this is an opportunity to show up for the voices that are quieted and often silenced. This is, you know, showing up for the future.
And also to recognize this has nothing to do with socialism, communism, whatever. It just has to do with saving our planet and having a better life for us to live. You know, you put all these judgments, you know, all of a sudden someone's, oh, that's a socialist idea. Oh, that's this idea. No, the idea is to come together and say enough is enough. We want you to start working on this crisis that we only have about 12 years or we're really going to be in deep trouble. And when you look at that 15-month-old little boy in 12 years, he's only going to be 12 and a half years old, almost 13, or just becoming into his teenage years. And we need a better planet. So let's have any last words, any last thoughts, any kudos, anything you want to say. Let's start with you. Go ahead.
Well, just as a last thought, so often when we're talking about what are the opportunities for taking action, what does it mean to show up? So much of the time, it actually just means showing up to your own community. It's about starting a conversation with the people who live closest to you, your neighbors. And, you know, again, just wanting to echo all that you said, it's actually not so political in the way that people want to frame it. It's actually just about showing up and being a good neighbor. So
showing up and being a good neighbor. How about you, Carrie? Last thoughts.
I think Kailea hit it perfectly. I think being a big, it's about relationships, being a good neighbor, being in relationship with your neighbors, with your community, with your elected officials, and building those relationships, and really making sure that you don't, that we step into action to combat hopelessness. So,
one last word from you, Amber. Any last words, any last thoughts?
I feel more hopeful the more I participate in this process. And so I just encourage people not to be shy about taking that first step to get engaged in any of the ways that we've mentioned, and to use that as a resource to grow your actions around these issues.
Well, I want to thank the three of you for being here. It has just been wonderful. Well, that's it for our show. Thank you to Carrie Fugit from Daily Acts, and a special thank you to Amber S. Amber, thank you so much, our scientists in the room, for giving us so much good information that we can really learn from. And Kalea for bringing her beautiful young son in. Would you pronounce his name again?
His name is Nakash Lofton.
Nakash Lofton, and what an adorable child. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, what motivates me is, and I've said this many, many, many times, I'm a great grandmother. You know, first I was a mother. Well, that was enough of a, that was a big deal. Then I became a grandmother. Oh, my goodness, that was even a bigger deal. But as a great grandmother, I think to myself, wait a minute, I'm responsible for three generations. You know, I feel responsible, and I think I want to call on every woman out there to feel responsible and to remember, above all, our children are our future. Not only are our children their future for themselves, but for us. If there's no generation, how are we going to survive? Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. And I want to encourage you to go on www.womenspaces.com for any information. I'll have everything listed, where the event's going to be and what's going to be happening. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 16th, 2019.